They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Does tax planning slow things down when it comes to giving out charity in a timely way? I'm David Brancaccio. First, people who run small businesses are like a lot of the rest of the country. There was a sense in June that the economic weight of the pandemic might be lifting, but there's new concern about the pace of recovery now. This from a small business confidence report just out in the last hour from the National Federation of Independent Businesses. Marketplace's Jasmine Garst has seen the data.
Christina Blanche owns Aw Yeah, a comic book store in Muncie, Indiana that's open for business. Back when the pandemic started in March, she says she was pretty worried. She's still concerned.
Some days I'm like, this is not going to work. We should just cut our losses and stop now.
Small businesses like Blanche's add up to big business for the economy, says Professor Mark Cohen with Columbia University's Business School.
Without a robust small business economy, we can't envision any kind of meaningful recovery.
He says there needs to be a more comprehensive stimulus package to help those businesses stay afloat. Back in Indiana, Christina Blanche says,
I will not go down without a fight. I have put everything that I have into this business.
She says she isn't getting much foot traffic at her store. Most of her sales for the moment are online. I'm Jasmine Garst for Marketplace.
The joke is next generation 5G wireless will solve everything from potholes to ennui. It sure will make big video files download faster and could lead to connected everything so that, for instance, cars can let other cars know exactly where they are. Wireless technology requires space on the radio band, and there's news the military is freeing up some of its space so that commercial 5G signals are less likely to get blocked by, among other things, foliage. Marketplace's Nova Safo joins us here. Care to explain?
Right, David. So it does have to do with tree leaves. Our mobile phones are essentially radio transmitters. They work on certain frequencies. For 5G, we've been so far working with frequencies on the higher end of the spectrum where the waves are narrow and can be easily blocked by walls and, yes, leaves. So there's been pressure on the Pentagon to give up some of the vast amounts of spectrum it holds for military applications, and specifically mid-band spectrum, which is wider waves. And that's exactly what it's now doing. We spoke with Ted Rappaport, head of New York University's Wireless Research Center, and he explained why that mid-band is important.
The important thing about this spectrum is, like the previous four generations of cellular, it penetrates buildings better and it goes further in foliage. These frequencies at 3.5 gigahertz are going to be easier to engineer.
And the Trump administration, Nova, is mindful of China's lead in this next generation 5G stuff. How much does that play into this decision to free up space like this?
Well, a lot, because China already gives access to this mid-band spectrum for 5G use, and the Chinese company Huawei holds leading market share in providing 5G wireless equipment. And a U.S. wireless industry trade group applauded the Pentagon's move, saying it'll make American firms more competitive. Ted Rappaport thinks this is just the beginning.
I suspect that over the next few years, given the history of wireless growth and the consumer demand, that we'll see more of these kinds of transitions from military to consumer use.
And for now, the Pentagon expects this first transition to be completed by the end of next year.
All right. Marketplace's Nova Safo, thank you. Russia claims today it's come up with a coronavirus vaccine. And Russian President Vladimir Putin says one of his daughters has had the shot. There are questions about how well this has been tested for safety and effectiveness. This may be playing into a bump we're seeing on the stock market this morning, with London's FTSE index up 2.4%. Here, the Dow future is up 1%, 274 points. The S&P future up 0.7%. NASDAQ future up 0.5%. When many people give money to the nonprofit or charity of their choice, their old college, their local food bank, they tend to pull out their debit or credit cards. However, some wealthy donors are more likely to park their dollars in what's called a donor-advised fund. It's like a checking account for charity with tax advantages. But as KQED's Rachel Miro reports from Northern California, that system can have the effect of delaying the money going out at a time of urgent need.
David and Jennifer Risher of San Francisco say they got into a donor-advised fund, or DAF, years before they really thought about how they wanted to use it.
You know, I was like overwhelmed. Like, what do I do? How do I do it right? There's this tendency to want to do it perfectly, so I have to do all the research. And so that just blocked me.
People don't have to be super wealthy to set up a DAF. The minimum deposit at Fidelity Charitable, for instance, is $5,000. But critics say DAFs are too easy to set and forget. DAF donors get the tax break the same year they donate, but they don't have to decide where they want the money to go that same year, which is not necessarily a bad thing, says James Head, who chairs the League of California Community Foundations.
We have COVID-19 today. We may have a wildfire tomorrow. We could have an earthquake the following week. There are constantly needs within the community that we try to provide.
Yeah, but according to a report last year by the National Philanthropic Trust, out of 121 billion or so parked in DAFs in 2018, only 23 billion was issued to charity. What are all those DAF donors waiting for? Jennifer Risher says, give big and give now.
You know, now's the moment to write that bigger check. The rainy day is here.
Some charities have reported an uptick in COVID-related DAF spending. The Rishers launched a challenge to other DAF holders they call #HalfMyDAF. The couple will spend up to $1 million if people spend their DAF down before the end of September. Because what are they waiting for? In Menlo Park, I'm Rachel Miro for Marketplace.
Our producers are Rose Conlon, Victoria Craig, Meredith Gerritsen, Candace Minricus-Wren, Daniel Shin, and Erica Soderstrom. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.